Thank you, Blessing Njonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, October 31st, 2014. Us live from Washington, this is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Among our top stories this evening,
cracks continue to widen in ZANU-PF even after President Robert Mugabe yesterday read the Riot Act to his members and set up a committee to probe factionalism in the party ahead of its make or break elective Congress in December.
This is a clear indication of the politics of divide and rule that we have seen being used by President Robert Mugabe since 1980. Essentially, he is knocking the heads of the two factions.
The Tsvangirai MDC formation's fourth Congress kicks off with party leader Morgan Tsvangirai telling delegates that this will be his last Congress as party leader.
We had a powerful Congress under the theme, which is towards the national resolution and national convergence, finding a solution to the national problems.
And Burkina Faso's army chief says he has taken power in the country following the resignation of longtime president Blaise Compaoré in what analysts are describing as a coup.
Cracks continue to widen in ZANU-PF even after President Robert Mugabe yesterday read the riot text to his party's members and set up a committee to probe factionalism in the party ahead of its make-or-break elective Congress in December. Mr. Mugabe, in his party Politburo meeting yesterday, recommended the setting up of a committee to probe Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, the two alleged factional leaders in the party. ZANU-PF insiders tell Studio 7 that those aligned to Mr. Mnangagwa are moving in to suspend provincial chairpersons said to be aligned to the Mujuru faction. War veterans leader Jabulani Sibanda is one of those being targeted for removal from his position for allegedly failing to endorse First Lady Grace Mugabe to lead the Women's League and criticizing Mrs. Mugabe for staging, quote, a bedroom coup. Party spokesman Rugare Gumbo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the probe team is yet to be set up by Mr. Mugabe.
No, it was just a resolution of the Politburo, but no action has been taken yet. So we can't say. There are no terms of reference. People have not been appointed and so on and so forth.
But who will be responsible? Is it the presidium or just President Robert Mugabe? Who is going to appoint the members?
I don't know. It's usually the president, I think, in a consultation with other people. So I really don't know. It was just a proposal which came from the Politburo.
There were also issues that were raised, especially in the Herald, alleging corruption against the vice president. Were those issues discussed?
No, they were not discussed at all.
How about the tours by the first lady? What exactly did you discuss? What was in the report by Ms. Muchinguri?
Well, we can't go into details about those. We merely discussed the report, and people expressed their views and for, against, and that's it.
How about the issue of Themba Muliskwa in Mashonaland West? We understand the party had said no one was going to be suspended ahead of the Congress, but suspensions are going on anyway. What is happening?
Well, you know, it's politics being what it is. If you don't like someone, you devise ways and means of doing away with him, and that's what they did. They passed a vote of no confidence and they said it was legitimate, and that's it.
We understand that this is also happening in Mashingo, and some are saying by the time you get to the Congress, a lot of members will be suspended, and therefore this might actually end up affecting the outcome of that particular Congress and might create further friction in the party.
No, it's possible. It's possible, but we don't know. It's possible.
And lastly, Mr. Gumbo, there are some who are even saying that the party might end up splitting after the Congress. Is there a slim possibility, or these are just ideas that you might call far-fetched?
Well, it's speculation. People speculate a lot about certain things. But if the party follows its own procedures on how the Congress should be conducted, there shouldn't be any split at all. But if perhaps they don't do things properly, this might cause concern with other people.
That was the ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
A political analyst and board member of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Rashid Mukundu, says the probe team will not resolve the ZANU-PF crisis if it skirts the succession issue.
This is a clear indication of the politics of divide and rule that we have seen being used by President Robert Mugabe since 1980. Essentially, he is knocking the heads of the two factions, that is the one led by the VP, Joyson Juru, and the one led by the Justice Minister, Emmerson Mnangagwa. And it's unfortunate that the leadership in ZANU-PF cannot see through this political game that the president is playing. The probe that is talking of into the factions won't come up with anything tangible, because the issue in ZANU-PF and the issue in Zimbabwe remains that there's need for an open and democratic and transparent transition of power from President Robert Mugabe to whoever, be it in ZANU-PF or if it's in 2018 to whatever, to whichever party wins the election. So to me, this is a continuation of President Robert Mugabe wanting to die in office and continuously dividing and hitting the head of the ZANU-PF leadership.
President Robert Mugabe has also said the Congress is going to decide the fate of the party, and it is going to weed out certain elements that he says are destabilizing the party. Is this Congress going to resolve those issues in ZANU-PF?
No, the Congress already has been compromised in terms of the democratic internal political party democratic processes. In that, President Mugabe has already pronounced his preferences, at least judging from what the first lady was saying, and has come out in the open that he is supporting his wife. So the Congress has already compromised. The ZANU-PF leaders are not going to be free to elect a leadership of their choice. They are going to draw the line as the wishes of President Robert Mugabe. So the only outcome that we are sure of is that President Robert Mugabe will still come out of on top, not on the basis of a democratic process that is in ZANU-PF itself, but as a result of intimidation, threat, and a divide and rule strategy that is utilized.
That was political analyst and board member of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Rashid Mukundu, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, some ZANU-PF members in Mashonaland West are urging Vice President Joyce Mujuru not to resign but fight for her political life at the forthcoming December Congress. Arthur Achigoriwa reports from the provincial capital.
Following calls by Lady Grace Mugabe that she should either resign or apologize to President Robert Mugabe for allegedly being corrupt and wanting to succeed him, some ZANU-PF members in Mashonaland West are saying Mrs. Mujuru should hang on and fight for her position, as they claim she is more support than her closest rival, Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. Mrs. Mugabe, during her Meet the People rallies recently, implored the Deputy President to step down before the Congress. Analysts say this is because the Mnangagwa function is weaker when it is compared to Mrs. Mujuru and the party structures, so causing chaos and confusion ahead of the crucial elective Congress may disrupt the Mujuru camp and her desire to retain her office, positioning her to taking over in the event Mr. Mugabe left office. One of the Wawa detainees during the liberation struggle, Francis Foyer, said Mrs. Mujuru is an undisputable war of liberation history. He is agent, a former freedom fighter, now being referred to by many as Teurairo Kamazoe Kash Mujuru, to hang in there and contest for the vice president of the party at the Congress. He claims that she has more support than her rivals.
She must remain in the party and fight with them. She has so many supporters who are supporting her. Why leave the party that you have formed, the party you found, died for? No, she is one of those ladies who fought hard during the war. Her name alone implies that she was doing a lot of teurairo, which means she must have been butchering people.
Peter Lewanda is a white city resident in Chinoy. Lewanda said Mrs. Mugabe is capable of assuming the president of the country, and the ZANU-PF saying the country has invested so much in her. Lewanda said it is high time Mrs. Mugabe showed the people within and outside ZANU-PF what she is capable of doing. Another Chinoy resident, Dennis Kagonye, fears for Mrs. Mugabe. He said she must fight from within the party, and forming another party could be suicidal, and they will give her the chapter the opportunity to finish her political career. Kagoni says ZANU-PF is known for ruthlessly persecuting its own.
Maybe we should fight within ZANU-PF, because the moment she move away from ZANU-PF, all daggers will be drawn against her, and all the state apparatus will be upon her, and Grace will be a victim out of this. So it's better for her to fight within, because she went to war to liberate this country, and she should remain in that.
Though the unfolding political drama in ZANU-PF is unprecedented, there are others in the party who say there's nothing new to what is happening to Mrs. Mujuru, and in all positions will be up for grabs anyway, not just her. A former ZANU-PF cadre, Tendai Musonda, said it is now apparent that Mrs. Mujuru's time is up because President Mugabe no longer trusts her, as indicated by the first lady's utterance during the Meet the People rallies. Musonza is sure Mrs. Mujuru will be dumped by ZANU-PF as insinuated by the first lady come Congress time in December. But some want the ZANU-PF Congress not to just be about fighting for positions only, but for the ruling party to come up with tangible solutions to the country's problems, especially as the economy continues to deteriorate with the companies closing down. Luanda says he's looking forward to the Congress, even the Congress should address outstanding issues or glitches in the indigenization law to ensure every stakeholder is happy and that everyone benefits.
Individually, if I feel that the economic empowerment and indigenization policy is of paramount importance, but since its conception in 2007, it has never materialized to benefits that the ordinary person on the ground can point out to say, I have benefited from this and that, and as far as indigenization is concerned. So I feel that the Congress will be in a position to expurgate the policy and make it more accessible to the ordinary person.
Shoya, who will be a Congress delegate, what delegates will be allowed to be elected the two vice presidents and not for the President Mugabe to handpick if deputies is suggested by his wife and others in the party. Foya argues the handpick the vice president will be powerless. He also wants the election that the Congress to be done by secret ballot to avoid intimidation. Meanwhile, the Politburo endorsed the suspension of former ZANU-PF National and West Chairman Themba Moliswa following a vote of no confidence passed by his peers 2 weeks ago. Musonda said Moliswa wanted to do the impossible of trying to change the attitude of Romans while in Rome.
Saying it's like a man who is in Rome and trying to change the behavior of the Romans. There is a way which things are done in ZANU-PF. They have their own way of doing things.
What is happening in ZANU-PF is truly unprecedented, and how things will pan out at Congress is anybody's guess. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoyi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
The Tsvangirai MDC formation kicked off its fourth Congress in Harare today with the party president addressing participants. In his address, Mr. Tsvangirai said the Congress' big task is to come up with solutions to the challenges currently afflicting the nation and the opposition party itself. Mr. Tsvangirai said this will be his last Congress as the leader of the MDC party he formed with colleagues in 1999. Elections were held today for the women and youth wings. Elections for the main wing will be held tomorrow. Today's results were not immediately available. The main attraction in tomorrow's polls will be the contest between Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa and party spokesman Douglas Monzora for the powerful Secretary General's post. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions is conducting the elections on behalf of the party. At least 7,300 delegates are attending the Congress. Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri reached the Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa for an update on the Congress.
Yes, we had a powerful Congress under the theme, which is it was the national resolution and national convergence, finding a solution to the national problems. This Congress has been one of the most resoundingly successful ones with 7,300 delegates so far. We got our welcome remarks. We also got solidarity messages from ZCTU, President Kiwane, and also from Mr. Chibebe, the former Secretary General of ZCTU, and also the Secretary General of the International Confederation of Trade Unions. President had a keynote address, which was well received by the delegates. And of course, we proceeded to do the party constitution, policy review, organizational transformation, party program, and the roadmap to elections.
On the constitution, what was amended?
The key amendments are only going to be available tomorrow, and we hope that once they have been concluded, we'll have resolutions that are going to be key in terms of the forward thrust and strategies of the party.
We also understand that there were elections.
For the women, we have Tore and Tim Gios contesting each other. For the youth, we have three, I think, Shatswayo for the youth chairpersonship, Epmochizira and Chidakwa, who are competing there. Election results are likely to be out before the end of the day. We're expecting that by a day end.
That was MDCT Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa on the line from Harare with the Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
But first we take a look at regional and international news.
Yes, Chris, interesting events in Africa with Burkina Faso's army chief today saying he has taken over power in the country following the resignation of longtime President Blaise Compaoré. General Honoré Traoré told reporters in Ouagadougou today that he is in charge of the West African nation. General Traoré spoke with the journalist today and said, quote, he has the responsibilities as the head of state now. He said his administration will begin talks with political stakeholders immediately with a view to restoring normal constitutional order. The general first exerted power yesterday when he announced plans for a transitional government and ordered a dusk to dawn curfew after violent protests in the capital against Mr. Traoré. Local media broadcast a resignation statement in which Mr. Compaoré called for a 90-day transition leading to elections. Former colonial power France quickly welcomed the resignation.
Burkina 24 television reports that the former president left his palace in a heavily armed convoy. Mr. Compaoré ruled Burkina Faso for 27 years after seizing power in a 1987 coup. Unrest broke out yesterday as lawmakers prepared to vote on a constitutional amendment that would have allowed Mr. Compaoré to run for another term. The government withdrew the amendment after thousands of protesters stormed and set fire to the parliament building. The United Nations says Secretary General Ban Ki-moon released a statement saying he's following with great concern the deteriorating security situation in Burkina Faso. He called on all parties to end the use of violence, exercise calm and restraint, and use dialogue to resolve all outstanding issues.
A senior official in the Information Media and Information Broadcasting Services Ministry, Enway Mutambudzi, says local radio stations can now receive foreign funding, but it would be subject to approval by his ministry. Ivan Chifera has details from the capital.
Mutambudzi, a director of Urban Communications, told a Media Institute of Southern Africa Zimbabwe chapter broadcasting conference here that the ministry will have to vet the sources of funding for the local radio stations, saying in life generally there are no free donations. He said his ministry, in vetting the source of funding, will be trying to establish the donors' motives in funding local stations.
Realizing our condition, which emanates from 300 years of slavery, 100 years of colonialism, and is still fighting neocolonialism right now, we realize that we don't have the means. And because of that, we accept that foreigners can still come. You can still get foreigners to give you money. but at least subject to approval by the government of Zimbabwe.
He said government's wish is that the Zimbabwean voice be controlled by Zimbabweans, but participants at the one-day conference where Mutambudzi spoke on behalf of Information Minister Jonathan Moyo said the government's move to investigate foreign funders was suspicious. Zimbabwe Association of Community Radio Stations Programs Manager Kutsai Kwangwari said funding for local radio stations must be treated like any other aid coming into the country.
Our position has been that community radio is a tool for development, just like any other project in communities. Where there's need for support internally or externally, that support must be allowed. We are only worried about the fact that the people who are going to be judging, to be looking at the donations themselves, or whoever's going to be donating, are they balanced? What is their view and attitude towards that kind of support?
Kumakomo Community Radio Station Manager Evidence Chengerai said the move by the ministry is welcome, provided the process would be fair and transparent.
They might even come up with new restrictive laws that are going to say maybe they will take certain percentage of that donation or funding that we will get. Or probably they will even go as further as to say that this organization that is going to fund you, we can't accept the funding that you are going to get because of this and that.
MISA Zimbabwe Programs Officer responsible for broadcasting, Koliwe Majama, cautiously welcomed the move by the government to allow radio stations to start receiving foreign funding, saying it would be ideal to have an independent board to receive and distribute funding to community radio stations rather than having the government controlling the process.
Now, what is important within a fund like that is that there should be an independent body that receives funding on behalf of stakeholders within the community media grouping and make transparent decisions on who gets an allocation. That money is properly audited and, you know, there's a semblance of, you know, fairness and transparency in the way that money is dispersed.
Meanwhile, participants expressed concern at the failure by the government to speed up the licensing of the community radio stations. But Mutambudzi said the government is committed to the establishment of community radio stations, adding the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe is working on the licensing modalities. Participants also expressed concern at the delay by Parliament in realigning media laws to the new constitution, but Mutambudzi said the process would commence once the ministry gets the findings of the Independent Media Panel of Inquiry, IMPI. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
An estimated 300,000 students graduate each year from Zimbabwe's universities and colleges. But with high unemployment due to company closures and general economic stagnation, degree holders and the unemployed are being challenged to create the jobs they want rather than wallow in poverty as they wait for the perfect job.
What our young people are trying to do is to be ready to get a job and be employed by somebody else in an environment where, even in the Western world, being employed is a difficult task. It is a lot better and a lot more enriching to be innovative and to start something new.
This is Gibbs Dube. Tune in next week for this two-part series on the challenges of being capable, educated, but jobless.
Of the International Criminal Court's more than 120 members, 34 are African nations. However, following the court's indictments and subsequent trials of Kenya's president and vice president, some, like Kenya, have withdrawn and others are threatening to follow suit at the urging of countries like Zimbabwe, a non-member state. But the court's chief prosecutor has remained resolute, saying their fairness and independence is unquestionable. Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalielie has more.
While the ICC's indictments of Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir and late Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi drew criticism from African leaders, it was the case against then-presidential candidate Uhuru Kenyatta of Kenya and his deputy William Ruto that saw the strongest pushback, with the African Union as a body urging them both not to cooperate with the ICC. But both President Kenyatta and Vice President Ruto have attended the trials in The Hague to defend themselves against charges that they were complicit in the December 2007 election, where more than 1,000 Kenyans died and thousands more displaced. Despite the backlash, ICC Chief Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda defends the indictments.
At the confirmation of charges, what you have to prove before the judges is that you have substantial grounds to believe that this person has committed the crimes. And that test is not only for the prosecutor. No, you go before three independent judges and present the evidence to them. In this instance, we have to recall that those three independent judges confirmed the charges. What does that mean? That there was the evidence.
Bensouda, who replaced Luis Moreno Ocampo in 2012, says reports of witness tampering and withdrawals that have delayed Kenyatta and Ruto's trials is not a reflection of a weak case, and she says she'll pursue it to full justice, as serious crimes were committed in Kenya.
There was a strong urge for Kenya itself as a government to take on the responsibility to investigate and prosecute. There was a commission of inquiry which found that definitely these crimes have been committed, and it was set up to investigate the crimes. It failed.
Prior to the Kenyan case, African leaders, including President Mugabe, have undermined the court's ability to make arrests of indicted people like Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir. Zimbabwe, which is not an ICC member, hosted Mr. Bashir in 2009 for a regional meeting. Bensouda says in time, Bashir will face justice.
Unfortunately, there is the lack of this political will. States parties, when they sign and ratify the Rome Statute, what they are effectively saying is that they will execute the decisions of the court. In fact, this is an obligation as a result of ratification. Zimbabwe is not a state party, even though in this instance, I mentioned that it's a referral from the UN Security Council, and I believe all states have the obligation to support the ICC with regards to this particular investigation.
As to the accusations of targeting African countries and their leaders, Bensouda says she is pursuing other cases in non-African countries.
Recently, I opened preliminary examinations in Iraq over the UK forces and their conduct in the 2003 conflict. The UK is a state party to the Rome Statute, and this also shows you whether it is in Africa or whether it's outside of Africa. If the parameters of my intervention is legally met within the Rome Statute framework, I will intervene. Colombia is under preliminary examination. Afghanistan, Georgia is under preliminary examination. I've just closed the preliminary examination I was doing in Korea. And Ukraine is under preliminary examination. And that is another example. Ukraine is not a state party, but they have made a declaration under 12.3 accepting ICC's jurisdiction.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Dimyake Mwakalyelye.
Just as a reminder, Chris, to our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our topic is the MDC Congress and what's happening in ZANU-PF and the possible reunification of the other two MDCs.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Memory lane, Chris. I remember when I was a young girl dancing to this song. Today, the Americans are dancing to it. It is Halloween today. But anyway, we recap today's top stories.
Cracks continue to widen in ZANU-PF even after President Robert Mugabe yesterday read the Riot Act to his members.
And MDC leader President Morgan Tsvangirai tells his supporters that this is his last Congress as leader of the MDC.
That's our broadcast this evening. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
I'm Sandra Nyaira. Please stay tuned for Studio 7 in the Belle with Standekile and Tungamili. Good night, Zimbabwe, and happy weekend to you all.